stalled us at the bar, please.
Welcome to Tavern Tales, a curated 5e Dungeons & Dragons adventure set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal campaign module by Wizards of the Coast.
Previously on Tavern Tales, Yashiri, Oriana, and Drayden have sat down to have tea with the goblin leader, Dern. But his mistreatment of the goblins and horrible puns have been too much to bear. It's time to roll initiative.
Come sit down and drink with the enemy. Raise a glass and toast to the enemy. And I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy. Raise a glass and sing to the enemy. And I'm not gonna do this on my own. So
I'm going to call this out for Senda. I demand, this is my one demand of the world, more dresses with pockets.
Wedding dresses I tried on today had pockets. It was really cool.
Holy shit, that's awesome.
It was beautiful.
Like wedding dresses with pockets? Cool.
Yeah, and it was actually one of my favorites. But
you
then I was
need
like,
a purse then.
Well, but I'd be afraid I'd have my hands in the pockets the entire time standing on the stage or like up front.
But then there's going to be a picture with Aaron in his hands in his pockets, and
me
you with
and
your
hands
in your pockets,
or our hands within each other's pockets.
Oh my god!
Okay, sorry. We can continue.
Welcome to game 11.
Good evening.
I'll begin. To think, tea with a hobgoblin. Now that goblin shaman Grenel, there was a piece of work. She used to have the easy life. Her son Cleekson was the former chief of Durbaluk tribe, and she was held in high regard as the shaman of the Sunless Citadel. She treated Cleekson very poorly, though, and when Dern rolled in with his hobgoblin henchmen, Rocky, Raugi, and Roki, they took over with Balak and Maglubiet's authority. Cleekson, already being held in poor regard by the clan, probably did not deserve the fate doled out by Dern, and now Grenel has put the group square in the middle of her conflict with the hobgoblins, and everyone was so enjoying their tea. But it looks like that is all over, as Dern has grown suspicious of Yashiria's conversation with Grenel, and weapons have been drawn. Dern's glare is met with an icy cold look from Yashiria, who murmurs,
"This was supposed to be Earl Grey."
And now let us peek into the adventure itself. As Rogi stands up from serving as a chair, Dern tightens his grip on a still-sheathed sword, and Grenel smiles wickedly at the havoc her words have created. As Dern's hand tightens, can I get a perception check from everyone, please?
Sure.
Oh, crap.
12.
12 and
19.
And
you're the
5.
Oriana, you weren't even there, nor were you paying attention, so you wouldn't really know this information. But Drayden and Yashiria, you notice Dern's finger is wearing a ring, and upon this ring is a specific seal of a family. Can you tell me what that family might be?
Not the Silverkins, is
it? No, no. Everyone would have, you wouldn't have needed perception checks.
Is it the three humans that have gone missing?
Yes, the two humans that have gone missing, Talgan and Sharwin, I believe. The last name is Hukriel, which if Sidorik had been able to make it, would have been able to read in her lengthy book. Okay, so you both notice that the Hukriel crest that is on a signet ring that Dern is wearing.
Oh.
So before we all roll initiative to start the game, let's introduce the players we have at the table today.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I am Yashiria, the cleric. Human cleric.
That's it. That's all you got.
That's all I got.
I'm Marie Claire. I am playing Drayden Silverkin the Fox, a half-elf fighter who is a folk hero and fairly well-known throughout the land as being a roguish type person, but I'm primarily a fighter.
Hi, I'm Paige, and I'm playing Oriana, who is a tiefling sorcerer, A lot of people are still trying to figure out how I fell from guild artisan to stealing from my fellow guild artisans, but you'll never find out.
Take that one to your grave, will you? Excellent. Like that additional color.
Have we ever said what our alignments are?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think it's been established.
I feel like that's a good way to add some color. I'm neutral good because I don't believe in laws.
And who are you?
shut up.
Now you know how Aaron feels.
I'm also neutral good.
What?
Yeah.
But you like Paleolore.
I like Paleor.
Paleo diet.
The Brazilian soccer superstar.
Yeah.
I am chaotic good.
Mm. Of course you are. Because you're like a wild magic sorceress.
As I said before, at the end of our last session, roll initiative.
My dice have not been nice to me, so I don't expect this to go well. But, see? I've been told that if you put them in the freezer, they start acting better for you.
Did you put them in the freezer?
I have not yet. I need to, because my dice have started to be assholes.
So we'll set the scene. Grenell lurks on the periphery. There are three hobgoblin lieutenants, and the hobgoblin captain or king of the Durbaluk tribe are standing before you. Everyone is holding a teacup with some varying amount of hot liquid, hot steamy liquid in it. There are biscuits that are doubtlessly also being held, nicely frosted English style biscuits, cookies in other words, and no one has drawn a weapon yet. But based on the initial actions, you see that Durn is about to draw his short sword and command his people to lay at you. What's your initiative roll, Yashiri?
18.
Oriana?
I got 10.
Drayden?
4.
Did you roll a 1?
No, I rolled a 2.
Good job.
Sorry, could you describe what Grendel's wearing again? She's more crow's feet and she's been having a tough life.
She's old.
Grenell is a stooped and aged goblin. She is wearing robes of a leather, deer-like material. She has multiple trinkets, baubles, and necklaces hanging from her, and she carries this long forked staff that has a bunch of leather wrappings on it, as well as tatters of paper and other necklaces and whatnot hanging from the top. So she's outfitted grandly in shamanic gear.
I'll change what she looks like, because I made her too happy.
And it is the top of the initiative order. Yashiria, what is your dexterity modifier?
+2.
You will go first. The hobgoblin lieutenants will go second, followed by Oriana.
Cool. How far away are the lieutenants from me?
Very close.
Very close. Okay. You say I have a teacup in my hand?
Yes.
I don't know if I'll be able to do this in one turn.
All right. Well, tell me what you want to try to do.
I want to try and throw my hot tea at one of the lieutenants.
Yeah.
And then draw my sword and shield after that.
You can easily draw your sword and shield.
But I want to do something colorful with the tea.
I'm just saying that you get that draw action at no cost. That's not even going to hurt or hinder your move action at all. You get that. That's purely yours. You can throw your tea, draw, and I'd even let you have an attack. Since I don't think your tea is really going to do any damage, it's not going to stop them. It's really just some nice, pretty color as you hurl this.
It's not hot?
Well, it's hot tea, but I mean, you had a nice little conversation with Grenell last session. I think you've been standing around for 20 minutes with these hobgoblins. I don't think it's scalding heat anymore.
It's tepid.
Yes. I mean, you know, these hobgoblins are not going to be suing McDonald's for second degree burns.
Okay. Well, then no.
That's funny because it happened.
I will take my teacup with my utter disgust over the fact that it's not Earl Grey and smash it on the ground.
What?
And draw my sword and shield.
Okay.
Warhammer and shield.
What is unfortunate is that it is Earl Grey. It's an Earl Grey Oolong hybrid, as described in the last game. But it is not pure Earl Grey, I gather. Yeah. And that means something to Yashiria. So you easily slam the tea to the ground. And one of the lieutenants goes, "That cup's been in my family for years."
It is in no one's family anymore.
By all means, what would you like to do now?
Cool. So now that I've got my shield and hammer drawn, I will bless the party.
All right. You step back, raise your shield, which I believe is your holy symbol. Palor is embossed upon the front of the shield. So you raise that aloft and cry out for Palor's blessing to be upon your three comrades. What do you say specifically?
Sun and light's blessings upon you.
Oh, nice. Nice color.
Yay.
Approval from a player.
Nice.
I like it.
Palor's light shines from afar. Your back and shoulders are warmed as the blessing of Palor falls upon your mantle. That was Yashiria's turn. It is now the hobgoblin's turn. Each of the hobgoblins will draw forth short swords, and they will lay two against all three of you.
Hey.
All right, Yashiria, you're the purple one. Oriana, you're the red one. Drayden, you're the blue-red one. None of you remember that now, do you?
Yeah, I'm the red.
Purple.
Blue red.
Each one of them pulls forth a rusty, probably a little bit dull on one side at least, short sword from a makeshift scabbard and lays at you. Now, hobgoblins have an advantage. If they are within 5 feet of an ally, they get to deal extra damage if they hit you. So hobgoblins rely on pack tactics to stab you in vulnerable areas because their allies are nearby. So let's see what they do. Oriana, you definitely are struck. I have a natural 19, which means that's a 22. So you take a total of 12 slashing damage.
Ouch! That's the closest I've come to death yet.
Now, this hobgoblin, he still has his teacup in his hand. He's using his other hand to cut you down, and he's trying not to spill his tea while he stabs you brutally in the chest. Yashiria, the total to hit is only a 10. I don't think that's sufficient.
Not close.
And Drayden, the total to hit is a 16, 17.
That's it.
That total does 12 damage to you as well.
Okay.
That is the three hobgoblins. They've taken their actions. All three of them are still holding their teacups. You can see, though, that the two that have attacked Yashiria and Drayden, they have finished their tea. They are just simply holding the cup. Dern has his in one hand with a saucer as well. Since he has a saucer, he's a little bit more encumbered, I guess. That was the hobgoblins. Oriana, it's your turn. Followed by Dern.
I too still have the teacup in my hand after being brutally stabbed multiple times. At first, I want to smash it on the ground, but then I remember that this tea set was part of someone's family heirloom. I carefully go to place it on the table in front of me, but from my wounds, I'm quite clumsy and I drop it and it smashes on the ground.
Okay, so you deliberately drop it on the ground, just trying to make it look like it was an accident?
No, I actually tried to put it on the table nicely, but I'm clumsy.
Because your character is more than dexterous enough to not have to worry about
I just got stabbed like a lot.
That's fair.
So I thought I was putting on the table,
yeah,
but I'm a little not there, so it kind of missed
it. How about you just roll a dex save to see whether or not you do it or not? Let the dice determine your fate there.
Oh, 15.
So yeah.
Plus two.
You may, 17. You may choose to trip and fall. It's a choice, though, because you definitely have more than enough ability to put a cup down.
I choose to trip and fall.
Excellent. deception check. With advantage.
12.
Perfect. That's more than enough. No one is really paying close attention. You do impart the belief in everyone else around you that you are clumsy and you trip and fall and knock the cup to the ground. This Perfect. Causes umbrage on one of the hobgoblins and will have an impact and effect on him in his subsequent turn. What would you like to do with your action?
I cast Chromatic Orb.
Woohoo! Go for it.
Good stuff.
I'm going to cast it on the one that stabbed me.
Excellent.
Mercifully. Yep. I'm going to cast a Fire Chromatic Orb.
Perfect. Roll away.
Now she gets to add the D4 from Bless, yes? Because she gets one D4 for attack rolls from my Bless, everyone.
Is it only a D4?
Yeah. Bless up to 3 creatures, plus one D4 on attack rolls and saving throws.
Yep.
23.
You smoked this hobgoblin thoroughly in the face. His teacup flies from his hand and shatters on the ground. No. Even worse, it chips on the ground. It is still a completely viable teacup with a chip out of one side and a crack that runs down it. So it still looks like it could be used, but it once it's filled up with tea, tens of
leak all over somebody.
Tens of years later, when someone finally picks up this teacup, it and they pour tea into it, it leaks out of that crack, and you know that you have caused harm to some other goblinoid family well down the line. Perfect. Do your damage.
17.
The wave of fire catches him in the upper chest, neck, and chin, burning deeply, scoring him horribly, and he dies. He doesn't have an opportunity to gurgle, splutter, or otherwise make a sound as his throat is scorched irreparably. He falls to his knees, then to his side. His face comes to fall upon the shards of the teacup you dropped mere moments ago, almost as though you are foreshadowing that his face would fall there and then be scratched and cut by all these porcelain chips. That's one down.
Nailed it.
Three to go. Please roll your d20 wild magic.
Tree.
All right. Did not come into effect. That was Oriana's turn. It is now Dern's turn. Dern, the hobgoblin captain, pulls free his sword, sets his teacup and porcelain saucer on the footlocker ottoman that he's been using, and then turns with a glare at the party and sees that Oriana has totally destroyed one of his henchmen. Indeed, it was Roggy, who had been the footstool for Yashiria for so long. He cries out in gobbly, which you understand to be, "Die, you fucking tiefling," and he levies his sword.
You don't understand that.
I know.
I thought he was Bullwinkle, though. Could you say it like Bullwinkle?
Die, you motherfucking tiefling!
Thanks.
It takes so much away from it.
And then he attacks you twice with his sword.
Pretty sure he could kill me once.
All right, well, he attacks you once with his sword. He only gets an 8 to hit, so that's not sufficient. He levies his sword again at you, and this time he has a 16.
And that's based off armor class?
Armor class.
Okay, he hits.
He rends you horribly and brutally, dealing 9 points of damage to you.
Do I have to go negative?
If you fall below 0, you just simply go to 0, and you fall to the ground unconscious, and you'll begin making death saves.
This is the first time I've ever had to do this.
About time.
Karma's a bitch.
You always stay back. No, I mean, that's where you're supposed to be, though. That's fine.
That was Dern's turn. It is now Drayden's turn.
Awesome. So
followed by Yashiria.
Through the might of my fighter prowess, I'm going to use Second Wind and regain some hit points.
Okay.
That's just a bonus action. So yep. That's what I'm doing first. Boop. All right. It'd be 7 that I regain. And then I'm going to challenge Dern face to face, setting my teacup on the floor in place.
Yep.
And avoiding it, and drawing my greatsword from my back. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's on my back. Holding it aloft and saying, "You're going down, Dern." And I'm going to actually attack him and approach with an advantage.
Okay.
Boop. And
Drayden doesn't realize or remember that he has set his greatsword down upon the ground when he was taking tea earlier.
Oh, so it was on the ground?
And as he draws forth his greatsword, which was on his back, he pulls free the frosty, ice-cold greatsword.
Ah, the other one. Yeah, I forgot about that. I didn't know what the stats were.
He pulls free his icy greatsword brought to him by Meepo. In the heat and frenzy of battle, the other greatsword lies limp and lifeless on the ground. But you do not feel sad for this other greatsword. It is just a greatsword, and you do not need to feel sad for it.
Do you feel sad for the little greatsword?
Now remember, you've got your d4.
Oh,
because of Bless.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
The greatsword thrums in your hand. It has been quite a while since Meepo gave it to you, and you have attuned to this weapon.
Oh. Ooh, it has a name.
As you draw it free with an icy hiss, I apologize, Juliana could not be here tonight, but a voice in your mind speaks to you, and it says, "Let's kill something!" As though the essence of Calcrix is imbued in what is an Ice Lance Frostbrand greatsword.
Cool.
It has its own personality. It has its own desires, not unlike Calcrix herself, as though the creation of this weapon is in part to Calcrix's death. You have a sheet in front of you, much like the Mephits and Jot. It will have an impact and speak. The Mephits are important because they should be rolling their own initiative going forward in combat.
That's gonna be my next
question. And Jot should as well, because you can direct their action on their turn. It'll basically allow you to go twice in initiative, once with this weaker, less substantial ally.
To confirm, it doesn't have any bonuses to attack.
It is plus one. To attack and damage.
Cool. Five plus the other cool stuff it can do. All right, cool. So I'm actually going to spend a blue moat to get advantage on attacking Dern.
Yep. And you're blessed, so roll it.
I'm going to run forward. So I have a 17.
That is sufficient to hit this, to hit Dern in his half plate armor.
Thank you for the bless, because I really sucked. I have a 7 plus 7 plus 3.
Thank you for the magical weapon.
Yeah, and
otherwise
magic.
You would have sucked. You wouldn't
also
have hit.
That, yes.
Yes. So, Calcrix, the Frostbrand Greatsword, rends into Dern, doing your damage.
All right. Quick question before I roll. This is going to be my Calcrix Frost damage.
Okay.
Because I'm just hitting it normally.
Yep.
Not doing the special stuff.
Do you want to read some of the pieces about what your sword can do?
Oh, sure, yeah. When you hit with an attack using this magical greatsword, the target takes an extra 1d6 cold damage. In addition, when you hold the sword, you have resistance to fire damage. In freezing temperatures, the blade sheds a bright light of a 10-foot radius and dim light in an additional 10 feet. When you draw this weapon, you can extinguish all non-magical flames within 30 feet. The property can be used no more than once per hour. You can also cast the spell Ice Spear using this action once per day. And that involves some really cool
stuff. Well, when you do that, you can read that out.
Quick question, because I have the ability to reroll ones and twos, does that also count with the cold damage?
Yes, any damage you will reroll ones and twos.
Cool, okay, sweet. That was really good to do that, because I need to reroll those ones and twos.
I think you keep the second two, don't you?
Okay. So I do 17 damage.
Wow. The blade cuts deeply into his midsection. You found a gap in the chest piece and the girdle of his half plate armor. And what color is goblin blood again?
I assume it's green.
Green, very, very runny, not very thick blood, coats the edge of your blade and turns to frost, this greenish frost on the blade of your sword.
Is he dead?
He is not dead.
Okay,
he is angry.
I'm gonna action surge and hit him again.
Can you action surge?
Yes, I can. You can do it in addition to any bonus action.
Cool. That's great. That's all I needed to know.
I do not get advantage, but I'm still blessed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Blessing lasts for, it's concentration and it lasts for 10 rounds, right?
1 minute.
That's 10 rounds.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a lot. Damn. Okay, 29.
Of course that hits.
I was just really happy.
Yeah, of course.
It was 19. 15 more damage. 5 of that was cold.
You pull free. Can you give me the color for the second strike?
Oh, sure. So for the first strike, struck deep. Yep. And I swing with greatswords. You do these round sweeping moves. So I sweep around my left-hand side and slice upwards into his groin area.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you actually catch him on the outside of the thigh.
Yeah.
It cuts underneath the plate of his leg piece and cuts deep into his right leg. This time, even more blood comes out
squirts for a second and then pours freely down the outside of his leg. He does not look dead. He stumbles, though, brutally, brutally maimed. Awesome. It is now Yashiria's turn.
I'm going to spare the dying on Orianna.
Okay. I have no problem with you doing that, but Orianna hasn't even made a single death save yet.
Oh, okay.
If you cast Spare the Dying, all you will do is ensure she doesn't make any death saves. She does not get to take any actions. She's still at zero hit points.
If you heal
there's
her,
no
better.
Options. But if you heal Orianna, she will immediately upon her turn be able to do something. Furthermore, you do have two more hobgoblins plus the captain to deal with in the intervening moments.
Okay, sit tight. Be right with you.
Just so you know, everyone knows he pointed two or three times at Paige and winked, nodding at her.
This is foreplay for them.
Got you, bae.
And now Paige is just glaring at him. And Yashiria's action is?
Am I within reaching distance of one of the hobgoblins?
You can easily move and attack.
Yeah, I'll just attack with my warhammer.
Sure.
A backhand swing.
Okay.
Just kind of come across my body.
Okay.
11?
No. Yeah, it rings resoundingly against the chainmail of these hobgoblins, insufficient to do any damage. That was Yashiria's turn. It is now the two hobgoblins' turns, and the two hobgoblins turn and in concert, because they know that Dern is fending against Drayden, they turn to attack Yashiria.
Of course they do.
Of course they do.
Yashiria has moved up
to
face the goblins, these two hobgoblins, and one of the hobgoblins works in tandem with the other hobgoblin to push you into the shaft.
No, not the shaft.
Would this count as an attack roll?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm going to, as a reaction, we're going to warding flare that.
All right, so instead of having advantage on the attack, he only has a regular attack.
Yep.
All right, I have rolled a natural 19.
Oh, shit.
Fuck.
To push you. So they have successfully grappled you. And now it is a strength check.
Oh, you're beefy.
To avoid getting pushed into the shaft.
You sure he doesn't like the shaft?
You want to spend for advantage?
I'm going to spend a blue mode for sure.
Okay. All right. Roll for advantage on your strength check. I have rolled a natural 20.
I have not.
Can someone take his dice away?
All right. What was funny was that the other hobgoblin was helping, so they were going to get a bonus on this anyway. Yashiria gets shoved forcefully into the shaft. We'll come back to that. The two hobgoblins' turn is done.
So I'm like out of the game now, I guess.
Bye.
No. Whoa, I wouldn't be so cruel or heartless as that. We'll just get around to what is happening to you, since no one can see what's going on when it's your turn.
I've been falling for like 30 minutes.
Right, so one of the hobgoblins goes to grab, a warding flare goes off in his eyes. He actually has his eyes closed, so it doesn't really seem to have any impact. The other hobgoblin is there too, and like corrals you or goes down to being in a chair like they're used to
they
doing. Is behind and trips you, and you stumble, and you try to make a stalwart strength grab, but he just, with an extra burst of adrenaline, shoves Yashiria. You hit the low 3-foot wall that surrounds this giant shaft, or the big well to the levels below, that has vines and ropey like plants climbing all around it, as Yashiria is toppled over it towards the depths below.
Yeah.
It is now Grenell's turn.
Huh, well, we'll find out if she's on our side officially. You're not dead.
It's game over, man. It's all ogre.
Didn't you hear that you could grab vines?
Not with my rolls, I can't.
Also true. Yeah.
So did Grenell join because she got mad that Nishiria got hurt?
That's a really good question.
Oh.
But you don't know for sure one way or the other.
Foreshadowing.
Oopsies.
Grenell steps forward and hits with her shamanic staff one of the hobgoblins, the one that has pushed Yashiria, and she mutters in gobbly, which none of you understand, but for the listeners at home, she mouths some sort of whispered prayer to Maglubiet to rend her enemies from within and performs inflict wounds Ooh. In the strike so that these horrible black veins lash out from the strike itself, curling and coiling like sepsis within the body of this hobgoblin. She hits and does 3d10 necrotic damage, killing the hobgoblin with this strike.
Sweet. Or not. That seemed kind of evil. I don't know.
I'll allow it.
And Paylor allows it.
Drayden, you're the only one seeing even a little bit that Grenell has stepped into the fray, seizing this opportunity. Seeing that Dern is close to death, one of the hobgoblins is already dead. There's a chance that the two remaining combatants could save the day, but she doesn't want to pass up this opportunity to lay down Dern after he has dispatched her son, the former chief. It is now Oriana's turn.
Which one do I roll for the death save?
A D20.
I've never done this.
You need to get a 10 or higher in order to succeed.
Oh God, this dice
in saving against death.
17. Woohoo.
There you go. Nice. Mark a check mark on your death saves as affirmatively saving against death. That was Oriana's turn. Saving against death, taking all of her time and action and energies. It is now Dern's turn, and he glares at you, looking up to you as he's bowed from the weight of the wounds he has suffered, and he strikes at you twice with his greatsword.
All right.
He has a 18 to hit.
Yeah, that's a hit.
So he hits you once, doing 9 damage.
All right.
That was Dern's turn. After he finishes his second blow, these big raining sweeps with his weapon as well. On the first strike, a smile lights up his face. But on the second strike, a stern and angry and almost sad expression takes place, almost as though he delighted in watching one of his enemies be vanquished in front of him, and then was immediately disappointed and saddened by the loss of one of his allies. It is now Drayden's turn.
So as he's hit me, I stumble back slightly, repositioning myself to pull back my sword and sweep it down towards him.
As the sweep comes down, you hear a yes from Calcrix in the hopes that it rains utter dispatch. Before you make that roll, I need you to make a concentration check.
Oh yeah, in case I don't have bless anymore and you fell.
You've lost concentration on your bless.
But doesn't he roll that on his turn?
He would have actually rolled that
When he got barreled
over the edge. So you don't have less. Paylor's gaze has moved on from this fight.
I think that my sister is dead because I'm no longer feeling blessed.
Oh, it's very possible.
I'm so pissed off that it's going to come even faster and stronger.
Oh, I love it. Can you pass that blue moat to...
I'm going
to
use it for advantage.
All right.
Ha ha! 26.
That is more than enough to hit Dern. Calcrix cries out gleefully.
That is 21.
Dern only had 2 hit points left. You have succeeded in the first strike in rending some sort of internal damage to one of the leather straps holding his chest piece in place. And when you bring your overhead strike down, the chest plate of his half plate has come loose, and you can see the gap between his gorget, his neck piece, and the shoulder and his shoulder guard. There is a giant gap there, and you strike true. Calcrix, the Frostbrand greatsword, buries itself into Dern.
Can I add some color to that? If like as the sword goes in, mm-hmm. it's like a blossoming from the cut is like the frost, like hoarfrost almost.
Coats his entire body and he freezes.
Oh, cool.
In place. When you pull free the sword, the whole shoulder and right peck of Dern, the one holding his sword, breaks free and falls onto the footlocker in front of his throne, shattering his china cup of tea.
And not him, right? Okay.
I was like imagining like when you use like liquid nitrogen on something and it like shatters.
This is exactly like liquid nitrogen has been placed inside his body, crackling him. He is frozen internally. When you pull the sword free, it breaks the arm off. It falls. The shoulder lands on the footlocker and shatters the cup.
Oh.
The arm itself doesn't shatter, though. It just breaks the cup, falls to the ground, a giant chunk of greenish ice.
That was
Drayden,
awesome.
Your turn is done. Yashiria, I need you to make a dexterity saving throw as you go over the edge of the shaft's wall.
14.
That is enough.
Please tell me my boots do something. Like they're rocket boots.
That is enough for you to grab hold of the vines as you're flipped over the edge of the wall and slam brutally into the edge on the other side, clinging to the top of the shaft by virtue of these green living plants that have saved your life. You look down below and the fall is at least 80 feet into like a dark, dark stony surface below. What would you like to do with your turn?
I will attempt to climb up the vines.
You climb up the vines. Your hand reaches over the top of the wall, plated, gauntleted. Do you have fingernail polish on?
No, I don't.
No? All right. Your chipped and manly hands grasp the wall as you pull yourself up and your chest and head appears, and the one goblin that saw you go over was looking so gleeful and joyous. His expression falls. He is but the remaining opponent in the room. You see Dern's lifeless body toppling to the ground, Drayden spinning in place to begin to attack the next combatants, and Orianna lying in a disheveled heap like one of her drunken forays of the past on the ground. Off to one side. Her hand is in the hand of the hobgoblin that she burned to death, as though they are resting gently together.
Or like this.
Palm up for both. Yeah.
We mimed it. It was awesome.
You have an action.
I do have an action.
Of course you do.
Okay.
Your move has been greatly reduced, but you have an action.
And he's not within... Is he within striking?
That goblin, that hobgoblin, yeah, is well within striking distance. You could leverage yourself up and over this wall, climb back, and attack very easily.
Yeah, let's do that.
Perfect. You climb back up over the wall. Let's just roll you and I, because you had your shield and your mace in your hands, and you needed those hands to grab hold of the vines. So on a success, you get to choose which of them fell, and on a failure, I get to choose which of them fell. Are you ready?
Suppose so.
All right. Make sure you roll a d20, because I'm going to roll a d20.
You first.
I have a 9.
I have a 5.
All right. You have lost. I get to decide, and I choose the shield.
Dang.
Your symbol of Palor has fallen to the ground below. You have your mace in hand, or your warhammer, which is...
My warhammer.
You have your warhammer in hand, utterly pissed about all of the actions that have transpired and happened. What do you do with your turn?
Man, I wish I still had a blue mote, so then I could do more shit. I've obviously got my warhammer, sans shield.
Yep.
So he's obviously within striking distance. Can I
spend a beer bottle cap?
Can I spend this? Can I spend this Sleeman's original draft bottle cap?
No.
Can I attempt to pin him to the ground with my foot and then come down with my warhammer?
Pin him how to the ground? Like step on his foot with your foot?
Or just like kind of like mule kick him in the chest, knock him down.
That would be your attack if you're going to mule kick him in the chest to knock him down. However, you can levy your attack with the intent of knocking him prone. You'll just won't do damage. You'll knock him prone on a success.
No, I guess I'll just attack him then.
All right.
So obviously from the fall and my shield and mace clanging against the vines, I take my one hand and I brush the moss and stuff off the warhammer. It sparkles. Bling. So I take it over my head and I go, you son of a bitch. And I bring it down upon
very
his head.
Very manly. All right.
I was going to say it like less like a man.
You son of a bitch.
That is not Yashiria either.
Whatever.
I'm happy with the first one, guys.
Okay.
It's fine. Roll it up.
I swear to God, I'm going to miss.
No, you hit.
18.
Yeah, you definitely hit. That is actually just enough to hit this hobgoblin. They're wearing chainmail. He has a shield. And he's readied and levied the shield at this point. So he's got an 18 armor class, but that is not enough for you to hit him in the unprotected crown of his head with your warhammer. So what is your damage?
11.
You kill the hobgoblin.
Damn right I do.
You actually, your warhammer is spun around. The point of the warhammer, the pointy side, embeds itself deeply within the crown of this hobgoblin, separating the two halves of his brain right along the medulla, whatever the central connection of your brain is between the two halves. It's been severed entirely. And if he was to live, he'd live a new life as a Phineas Gage sort of person, but instead he dies right then and there.
We call that a can opener in fighter school.
Yes, you have opened the can of whoop ass.
Nice.
It takes a while to work your warhammer free, or do you just leave it there in the interim since all of the combatants are dead?
I'll leave it there for now and sort of stare at the trophy on the ground.
You leave the warhammer and is embedded deeply in the skull of poor Rogi, and he falls lifeless to the ground, his head bouncing against the stone floor. Oriana's life breaths are coming faint, and exact just like that. You turn to Oriana.
I turn around as well and say, Yashiria, you're alive! Oriana, you're dying! And
what do you do, Yashiria?
Yeah, I'll wasn't that my turn? Because I attacked.
We're out of combat.
Oh, we're out of combat. Okay. I'll throw some heals towards Oriana.
Unfortunately, you're required have your holy symbol to Paylor pray through as a part of your casting of spells. You go to cast. There is no
cast.
No way to reach out to Paylor for his blessed and guiding light. However, a small voice that seems to have been behind you, possibly the entire combat. Would you like to borrow this? And Erky Timbers unhooks the clasp of his symbol of Paylor and passes it to you with a passionate and smoldering look in his eyes.
Oh, this again.
He was here the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's kind of useless.
How come he didn't roll initiative?
He did roll initiative.
I'm holding Oriana's hand and being like, Oriana, you'll get through this.
You'll make it.
Your sword is like, why are you touching her? Why are you holding me? Let's kill her too.
Hey, I thank the sword and I put it away.
The voice is muffled, but continues to speak in your mind.
That's going to be annoying.
Let's go back to Yashiria, which is where the scene was. I don't know why the camera refocused on Drayden and Oriana there for a second,
but let's pull
the camera back to Yashiria, where this smoldering look is passed between a gnome and a human.
I wonder, should I do it? Add some color?
What do you want to do?
Do what?
Do what you want. This is D&D. Do what you want to do.
Okay, so I look down. At how tall is he?
Like 3 feet.
All 3 feet of Erky Timbers. Take the necklace and I put it on.
Yep.
And I will grab him.
Yep.
And pick him up.
Yep.
And I will give him a passionate kiss. And then I will put him down.
You're probably not related to him. That's a good choice.
That's what Drayden literally says.
Well done.
You're probably not related to him. Erky Timbers melts in the kiss. Like, he's not expecting it at all. He goes limp, responds passionately, and then when you set him down, he stumbles two or three times, puts his hand against the wall of the shaft.
So you like misses way
up,
it once.
Way up. Yeah, he just kind of leans and reaches for it, catches hold and just kind of looks at you blearily and catches his breath. You've moved on subsequently. You're kneeling before Oriana. You've got this symbol of Paylor in your hand.
And I will say my ever so popular catchphrase.
Heroes never die. And rather than cast Spare the Dying, you cast an actual heal spell. Because that is better.
Yes.
All right, what do you cast? Healing Word or...
Yeah, we'll do healing word.
And that word is?
Heal.
Exactly. You can look up the health points. It's not really relevant. Grenell hobbles over and sits in the throne. In the interim, you may loot the bodies, check out the footlocker.
Yep.
And otherwise...
She doesn't stop us from...
She like, just has a sit.
All right. And she only speaks gobbly, right? We confirm that?
Correct.
I can translate, though.
I just ask you, Sharia, to have a conversation with her after she's had a rest.
Yes.
And, you know, spent some quality time with Erky Timbers.
No, no, we're past that. There's no more of that. It was a one-time thing.
Caught up in the moment.
Yes.
So yeah, looting the bodies.
Orianna regains consciousness. No trip to the other world for Orianna. There isn't a glimpse of the death beyond.
Oh, man.
It is all darkness and fire and doom. She stood upon the precipice of hell.
You are a tiefling.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay, it's like home.
Massive horns have somehow or other grown from your forehead. What color are these horns?
Black.
Black as ebony, shining, polished, sharpened to a point. They grow out 2 feet to tapered points. Do they curl slightly or are they straight, ramrod straight?
No, they're ramrod straight.
Yeah.
Like if I headbutted someone.
Yeah, 2 holes.
Yeah.
Yeah. At first, your vision seems cloudy or obscured in some way. And you reach your hand up to touch your face and your hands are burned from the fire of your eyeballs or whatever is coming out of the sockets of your eyes is literally on fire. You are looking through eyes that are just, the color is the same no matter what I say. The sockets of your face burn. They do not have eyes in them. You look through fire when you see things. You feel taller than you've ever felt before in like grandscape, maybe 30 feet tall. Your hooves are sharpened and cut the stone of the ground below you, and you surveil a world that is yours.
Oh, yes.
But it is all darkness and burning that brings you pleasure. And then blinding, scalding, white, radiant light strikes you from above.
Damn it, Yashiria.
Strikes you brutally, maiming you, opening up sunburns immediately as your skin crackles and blisters from the radiance of this light. You are reduced in height. You feel yourself shrink down as though the water and moisture inside of you is evaporated by the heat and intensity of this light. You cry out. The horns do not reduce. They fall from your head, and your last waking thought is the word heal. You come to looking upon Yashiria's concerned and hopeful face as she holds to your chest the symbol of Paylor of Erky Timbers, and it hurts. When Yashiria pulls it free, it almost sticks and leaves this lightened patch of white in the shape of the symbol of Paylor.
Nice. Like new skin. They just have to do it all over your body.
Did you just brand me?
No.
What the hell is this?
You were dying.
I was in my happy place. And you tore me from it.
And sing with the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. And raise a glass and toast to the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales, a curated Dungeons & Dragons 5e game set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal adventure module by Wizards of the Coast. Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. You can find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or at www.badbillyband.com or follow them on Twitter at @badbillyband. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or find us on Twitter at @tavern_tales.
We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.